I don't know. I was trying to come up with a weird question. I didn't have one. I was going to say, where's the weirdest place you've ever gotten a pimple? But I was like, it's probably more personal than we need to get.
Not anywhere like that. So actually for me, no. I mean,
oh really? Well, I mean,
the weirdest thing for me is I get like that stress pimple looking thing too. On my index finger. I
get
that.
Do you ever get one on the inside of your nose?
No. Sucks. Maybe an ingrown hair, but maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I got a couple.
But no, I've never gotten any weird pimples that I can recall, at least.
I used to get them in my armpits all the time during football season because my shoulder pad strap.
Isn't that ingrown hairs, though?
They're pimples. They're just pimples. Really? Yeah.
That's a weird start. Where have you gotten the weirdest pimple before?
Did you watch that Chimp Empire show yet?
I did not yet, but I rewatched the preview with Jess because I came in and was like, hey, like Todd was saying the show was real good. It's by the same person that did My Octopus Teacher. Did you watch that?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Go watch it. You would never think it could be good, but do you know how intelligent octopus are?
I know they're really smart, yeah.
So the dude that did that, like, dove down. I don't know. I forget how it came to be. Like, when you watch it in the beginning, it sets up, like, how. But, like, he created a connection with this octopus, like, actually out diving and went back and saw it all the time. And the documentary is oddly beautiful and keeps your attention. And it's, like, from, like, the life and the demise of this octopus. And it's kind of like you telling me that the chimp thing is interesting. You're like, how could that be so interesting? But it's amazing. It's an amazing documentary.
That's cool.
So yeah, the fact that he did it, now I'm even more like, okay, yeah, I definitely.
Oh, dude, I mean, the cinematography is incredible. Like the way that they illuminate the personalities of the chimps and like make it a story and, you know, however they chose to cut it to do it like that, it's awesome. It's really well done.
Kid friendly?
Things die.
Well.
Yeah. Things die. They don't show anything being killed, but
okay.
Things die for sure. You know, they hunt monkeys and they hunt these little antelope, but it doesn't show them killing them. They're like tiny. They're like tiny antelope. They're like smaller than a dick.
What are for anyone listening, I don't know if you said the name. It's called Chimp Empire.
Yeah. And the guy that one of the guys that made it, he wrote a, I think he wrote a book about it. Wrote a book too. He was on the Joe Rogan podcast not long ago.
Just recently, yeah. I saw that after.
Yeah.
You mentioned. I don't know if he was on after you mentioned it, but I noticed that. Yeah.
He was on before I mentioned it to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because that's how I found out about it. Yeah. I'm not a big podcast listener, but we were listening to him on the way back and way down and. Way back from North Carolina, so we're
doing a podcast right now.
Talking. I don't know. Listen,
I'm not a big fan of these podcasts. I don't understand people that listen to them.
That's not what I'm saying. I like talking and stuff.
I get it.
I listen. I go in phases, but I mostly listen to books. So
I go in phases. I'm always reading, but I'll go back and forth between like a big podcast kick, and right now I'm sort of out of my podcast kick. I still look, like most days I'll be like, is there anything that's like really interesting to me right now that came out from like the different ones I follow? But the YouTube algorithm is so good. It learns you so fast and it feeds you things that you would otherwise never find. And that has me like, I'd much rather, scroll my YouTube feed because it's feeding me educational stuff as opposed to getting on social media.
Oh, where dude, absolutely.
You never know what wave of, and I don't even want to say I get like emotional over Instagram posts, but still just like complete
head trash. Well, it's like, also just, it's not positively affecting your life or anything.
Versus YouTube, man. Like when you start to like go like, I like this, I'm subscribed to this, it learns you. And it's crazy how
YouTube
good it is feeding you. YouTube
is the best social media.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I found this guy. I wasn't talking to you about it. I was talking to somebody else. There's this guy that I've found that I've learned a lot of photo and video editing stuff. He goes by that Icelandic guy on YouTube. Dude, he's so, like, I've learned so much from him. But also his, like, his videos and everything, they're so good. Like, the production quality and everything and just, it's awesome. It's just super cool.
Do you realize how much money, like, because you look at it and you're like, why would people put so much
time into this? All the ads and everything that, they make a bunch of money off of it.
No, like, I mean, I don't know this dude. I would have to look at like his subscribers and his views, but like, dude, we're talking insane.
Oh yeah. Crazy.
Like never ever have to work again in your entire life. Not, I'm not saying like,
yeah,
there's a high percentage, but like, there are a lot of people
on
YouTube.
There's just so much more value there. Yeah. You know, like you can go and actually learn things because there's enough time to really learn them. But yeah, it's super cool. I dig that. So I spend, like, typically when I'm eating dinner, I sit there and watch some of his videos on,
awesome,
on YouTube to learn as much as I can. That's not what we're talking about today.
Nope.
One of the things that we've noticed, maybe we should do a little backstory. Do you want me to do it? I'll do it. You want to do it? I'll do it. You want me to
do it? I'm wondering what you're going to get for the backstory, because there's a number of things that come to mind.
Well, we used to talk and approach more of the conversation when it comes to like body composition and what you need to do to achieve that. And so we used to talk about it very directly before we made this iteration of our gym. And you know, from every aspect of training and nutrition and things like that. And what we noticed is it was hard for people to get results. People didn't have these transformations that they were looking for when that was our focus and their focus. And
specifically their focus.
And there could be a lot of reasons for that. And that's like a big thing to unpack, because, you know, I think a lot of times when people are looking for that, they're already in their minds in a weird place a lot of times. So sometimes it's like they're already in panic mode and like desperation, and they've waited too long and they want a fast change. And it's like, when you play that game the way that you're supposed to play it, it's not a fast change, you know? And I think that that's part of it. But we just noticed that like people would come and they would get stronger and they would get, you know, fitter by the standards which we had then, but their body composition wouldn't change a whole lot.
Some did, but
some
yeah,
did.
On the whole, like,
but well, so there was a period at the old gym when it had like people's body composition changed crazy. And when I say the old gym, the very first gym,
cranked out before and afters.
Yeah. But the second iteration of the gym, it was different, you know, and it didn't have that same positive change. But there's a similarity between the very first iteration of the gym and then the current iteration of the gym. Different like model from like the coaching and class standpoint and everything like that, but some of the attitude and some of the focus and the things like that are the same.
Yeah.
And so what we've noticed in this gym is we have seen a lot of body composition change, a lot of transformations, and we don't ever talk about that,
especially as of late, like literally in the last few weeks. I'm like, whoa, when did so and so, like,
yeah,
so it seems, I'm throwing up air quotes, overnight, but obviously it hasn't been overnight.
It's an accumulation for sure,
but I think it's just getting warmer out and we're doing these tank top Friday things and you're like, yo,
yeah,
what happened?
Yeah.
And so we started asking what happened in some of the circumstances.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, I don't know if we want to get into like what happened, but I literally with some of these folks where it's like, dang, like, okay, not saying it's been overnight, but all of a sudden noticing a big change, like what changed? And then I'll still leave a little bit of a teaser. It's like everything we've been talking about for 2.5 years, like, oh, you know what? I started paying attention to my steps. And one of the people I spoke to last week pulled up their phone. They're like, this is what I'm averaging now. And it was like 12,000. When they had it up, it was like 12,900 something. So they're averaging like 13,000 steps a day. You know, I started focusing on protein at each of my meals. And I don't want to quote them, but I think they said, and I just stopped eating like an asshole. So
that's one of my favorite things to say.
But across the board, you know, some of the folks that did the first round of the nutrition coaching program here that we did. We started it right before. I know we started it right around Thanksgiving because people were like, you're going to do it over the holidays? It's the worst time. It's actually the best time. you know, one of the people, I'll just say Corey, like, because I think we've talked about him on previous podcasts too, is like, as it should be, he has just continued to nail those
things. Dude, he looks like a different fucking person.
Whole different person. Yeah. And he graced me with a shirtless mirror pic the other day.
Oh, did he really?
And he said, sorry, something about, like, I forget, it cracked me up. He said something about, like, sorry for the shirtless pic. And I was like, this is what my life has come to. I'm getting shirtless pics from dudes again. I haven't gotten one of these since. No, but it was awesome. Just, like, to see. And it, like, obviously it's progress. I finished what I was saying there. My brain was starting to go on to the next thing. But also, it's awesome that it's just from such simple things. People are always looking for, and it's one of the things I hear when I sit down and do consultations. Is like, yeah, but what's the big thing I can do?
Well, that's I was looking on Instagram after our meeting. Just oh, there it went. Shit, I lost it. Hold on, I'll just search him. And in the past, we didn't necessarily. Oh, where'd it go? Oh, there it is. In the past, we didn't align with this guy because of hormozy, because of like, if his, how he was with those.
I love this stuff now.
But he put up one of those like fake Twitter things on Instagram, and it says, a lot more people would be advanced if they actually did the beginner shit that they think they're too good for. Mm-hmm. Like that's it.
Yeah.
That is it. I mean, that is all the. That's the biggest problem, I think, a lot of times.
And if we go back and it's like, what was the difference in the middle gym? And again, there are people that had, we have the testimonials on our website still of people who had transformations. But I would say there was a high percentage of people who really wanted that. And if I could, I would put like in italics, really wanted that. like you, a part of you really wants it, but you don't really want it. And what I think makes a big difference is doing something that you actually enjoy. When your sole focus is improving your body composition, like when I was into bodybuilding, like my entryway into lifting, like a lot of people, I don't know if it's true anymore, but like a lot of people in the early 2000s was like, was more of a bodybuilding style approach. So there was a focus on body composition, but there was a genuine love. Like there was zero issue of willpower to go to the gym and lift. Like in fact, I was probably doing too much, right? I loved it. So consistency is no issue, right? But when you want to improve your body composition, you're not an active person. You don't like working out, but you're like, I need to do this. I understand that I need to do this to look the way that I want to look. Like you're starting from a position of something that you don't plan on doing long-term. You more than likely don't plan on doing long-term. You struggle with consistency. And it's all from a point of like, I don't like working out and I don't like my body, but I'm doing this because, and it's like from day one, it's kind of set for failure. Maybe you become consistent in the gym, but you just don't push yourself at all because you have no interest in pushing yourself. But in the first gym, and especially here, and I just say especially here because of just how much more organized everything is. The first gym was kind of like if Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory was a gym, that was kind of the first, whereas this is like a very organized system. And I think is starting to create this at a much higher percentage, but it's just that it's about the work. And it'd be interesting, I don't know, like something about this, people are going harder at the things that they're doing. And I you did a blog post today on metrics.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, one of the things that I think it's is there was an attitude shift.
Oh yeah.
And, I think what you're talking about is, I'm trying to think of the best words to say this, but it's like, this is an additive, like a catalyst that fuels life and experience and enjoyment and purpose. And like, it's way different when you're coming from that position than when you're coming from the mindset of lack of, I don't like, I feel this way. And you expect something to magically change the way that you feel and look and all of those kind of things. And when you come from that place, it's difficult to be successful, you know? And so, but here, It's more from the way that we talk, from the attitude and the way that, that you and I live from a top-down perspective, but also the way that we've created the systems. It's like, yeah, it's about the work. It's about just coming in and doing the thing and having fun while you do it. But it's also, this is fuel for you to go out and have longevity and enjoy your life. And it just makes people approach it differently when they do come and how they train and they see that all of these things play into a bigger life rather than saying like, oh, I need to look this way so I feel a certain way. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that there is, but maybe from, I guess from some perspectives, maybe there is because it's not the best long-term play. But I'm not, I guess what I wanted to say is I don't judge people. I'm not judging you if you feel that way. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is like, trying to change when you're coming at it from a place of like, I lack, it's difficult to do that and sustain what you need to do to actually make the change.
It's, you can make yourself feel different with movement. And I mean that both literally with movement and figuratively with movement. Like making movement on something could also be a practice that isn't physical in nature, but like wallowing is a terrible recipe, right? Like, but even just think about your energy. If like, I hope I can do a good job of like kind of painting a picture of this. There are times where I sit down and do consultations and someone comes in and they're kind of slumped. And they're like, yeah, what do you think about this? And they're literally like touching their stomach and like maybe grabbing their stomach, like aggressively. You know what I mean?
I don't think
like,
about that. And I'm like, I don't think about your stomach at all.
Yeah. Actually. Like, and like just not doing like the commonalities when I talk to folks who come in with more of that attitude is like, we do our thing, right? Like the free intro process helps you. Well, it helps us to get insight into, you know, what you want to do, what you're currently doing, what hurdles you foresee, what's going on at a lifestyle perspective, medical health, injury history, things like that, right? And it helps us, like it helps you to learn about what we do here, helps us to gain insight into things and see if like, do we think this could be a good fit? And do you think, like we being like you and us, right? And the people that come in overly focused on those things, I find that when we get to lifestyle stuff, like, dude, no steps. Like, I've seen incredibly low. Yeah. Like, incredibly low. Like, daily average of less than 2,000 low. I've seen that. And I'm not saying that every single person that has that, like, hates their body. But I'm saying right. that there's a commonality of the people that did, like, very, very low daily average step count. No sleep hygiene, no bedtime routine, no morning routine, just like practically no routine at all. I could go on and on with nutrition, with hydration. Yeah. Like there's nothing there, but right now I am incredibly motivated to no longer be this. What do you think?
Yeah.
And like grabbing this. What do you think? Like what?
They want a magic bullet and it's like, they're absconding responsibility and they're like, I want to come here and I want this to fix everything for me rather than looking at the big picture and realizing that, you know, there needs to be a wholesale change, you know? And it's like, I know, you know, that I'm not a super religious guy, but I've read the Bible a handful of times. And, one of the, you know, I don't remember what book it's in, but there's a quote that's something like, to those who have, more will be given. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, yeah, if you have momentum, it begets momentum. And it's like, you don't have nothing and then start and then think that everything's just going to change just from doing one thing. Like you have to have and be doing and be doing and be doing, and more and more and more will be given to you when you decide that you're going to do something about it. You know,
I think, and I don't press super hard on those, 'cause sometimes it's just like, is this a good fit? But if we were to go deeper with that, you know, like the old heaven hell exercise, like I think for that person, like you're so, and I don't even know if it's that you're so aware of hell. It's just that you think right now is hell. But like, what is hell really if you keep going on this path? And that's where, like, from a free intro, like, I don't know, I'm not here to like push someone down a real deep rabbit hole with that. But
do you...
I'm just saying as a thought experiment, like, think about like, well, hang on, like, sure, you don't like this right now. But like, and if things stay this way, like, or things get worse, like, to help them understand, like, well, why do you want to change? Do you really care about that?
Yeah, that's like, the thing.
What is hell? Like, if things keep going this way, or God forbid they get worse, like, I want you to think of the absolute worst case scenario it could be in your head. Okay, we have that. But then, like, what is heaven? But heaven isn't you grabbing your stomach one day and there not being something there to grab, because it's like, okay, and what does that do?
Yeah.
All right, and why is that important to you? And what will that, what doors will that open? And I think if folks coming in, it's like, and that's why oftentimes in that situation, I'm never like, you can't train here, but I will try and redirect to like, hey, you know, I don't know that this is the best fit, and it's not me being a dick, and it's not me not wanting to help, but it's like, God, if like, what if when you were younger, you really, really liked to play basketball and you just haven't played basketball in forever? What if you started playing pickup basketball a few days a week? Like, you know what I mean?
Do something you enjoy.
Because you enjoy it and you'll be consistent with it and you'll be moving. And then, man, I'm moving a lot more. Like, I'm thirstier. My hydration's going up. Yeah. Well, now I'm moving a lot more. I'm thirstier. I'm noticing I'm tired a little bit earlier. Like, you know, like it can become this like domino that starts the whole process. And then maybe at some point you're like, I'm having a lot of fun with this. You know what? I'd like to get a little faster, a little more powerful. Like, the gym can be a great tool for improving body composition, no doubt. But I think there still has to be a love, like what I talked about, like with my entry into it with bodybuilding, not the only way to do it, but like, I just don't know if I've ever seen like a, I hate working out and I hate my body right now, and success come off the back end of that with like forcing a gym routine.
Well, that, or it's just like psychologically, there's something else that's happening that's not healthy that forces that. But like, I mean, it,
what do you mean? Like,
well, like you're obsessed with working out and you have to do it because you hate yourself, or like there's some other thing that you're trying to work through and it just like gets stuck there. But I mean, what you're getting at is like, what's meaningful, you know? How do you get to like, what is going to be a meaningful? And that's where I was talking about, like, this is an addition to your life to help you achieve things or have more, do more meaningful things to you rather than you know, just trying to come from this place where you feel less than. And I think that that's a lot of times what the problem is. And that's why, you know, that's honestly why I make fun of David Goggins, because I don't think he helps people that feel that way. No. So, but I mean, just looking at it from examples of, you know, different things that people have said to me, you know, like some of our clients have said things like, you know, I want to live to this age and I want to still be able to do X and things like that. Like, those are the things that keep people going, or like, I really enjoy this aspect of my life and I want the gym to enhance it. Like, you know, the Garbers, you know, they go and are super active people and they go and do these big hiking trips and stuff like this. And they've seen how the gym has improved their lives in that way and made it more enjoyable for them to go out and do their hikes. And I know that they like to be here and stuff too. And that's a big part of it. It always will be, but it's like, what is meaningful to you and why are you trying to do it? And that's when you start to see these different consistencies, like, get more consistent because you are attaching that to an outcome or like a purpose or something that actually matters to you, rather than like, I just don't want to feel fat anymore because I feel bad, you know? And it's a totally different approach. Totally different approach.
There's a lot of things that could actually make you probably feel better than not being fat anymore.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Just being honest, a better friend group.
Yeah.
A fun hobby.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying there's not value and I like the word fat could be like triggering for someone. It's like, I don't care if you have a lot of adipose tissue. Like, there's no judgment in that, but it's like, but maybe doing those other things makes you a little happier and decreases stress and makes the other things that you do more enjoyable. And as a result, you actually wind up dropping body fat. Like, it doesn't need to be this suffer fest. But you said something on the phone the other day when we talked about, like, what, you know, what are we going to talk about in the podcast this week? And when I was saying I had this rattling around in my head. You said something, and I'm hoping you can tap back into it, because I was like, oh, that was really good. And you just, like, it came right out, so I think you will. But it was something around, like, aspirations versus, oh, man, I'm going to butcher it. Do you remember what you said?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just joking.
Do you remember that? Like, you said something about, like, aspiring to be fit, I think, versus, like, I'm going to butcher it. I don't know.
Well,
I think it's in what you just said.
Yeah, it comes back to meaning, you know, and it comes back to there when you see a greater purpose for what you're doing, and you and this gives you a chance to live that out, like, then it's more likely that you're going to do the things. But if it's just like, oh, I work out because I feel like it's something that I should do, or yeah, like it is an introjected value that you've taken on because of society, or because of something your dad said to you when you were little, or yes, because you,
that's what it was, yeah,
or you, or whatever, is like, then that's, you're not going to stick with this. You know, it's not going to be something that you should do. But if you're like, oh man, I enjoy moving my body, and I've found something about it that I love, and I see how, like, maybe some of these things that are difficult, that aren't my favorite way to move my body, but I see how that applies to this and allows me to do X, Y, or Z, and allows me to do it for longer, and you can make those connections, well, then it's easier to sit back and start to trust that maybe some of these little simple things will do it. And then you decide, well, you can look at it from the perspective of, like, well, I'm playing a longer game. And when you can take that perspective, you realize that the small things accumulate. And then you can continue to do them, you know, but you have to, and that's where it comes back. You have to actually want something that's meaningful. And if you don't, then it's just like anything else. If you don't want, like, if you can't project yourself forward, it's more difficult for you to save money. It's more difficult for you to realize that, you know, I can remember, I'm not great at photography yet or editing photos, but I'm pretty good.
Pretty dang good.
But, like, so I remember when I first started, like, looking at people's photos and being like, feeling this, what do I want to say? Like, obviously an aspiration to be as good as them, but, like,
overwhelm.
Overwhelm. Yeah. And now it's like, just with the persistence of it, it's like, I can tell that I can be that good.
Yeah.
And I'm able to persist in my approach of doing that by learning little things all the time and realizing that it all accumulates, and at the end you're different, you know. But, like, I want to be great at it, and that's the difference between, like, oh, that's a really nice picture on Instagram, must be nice to be able to do pictures like that. It's like, well, no, I want to be able to do that, and you have to really want it. Just like I talked about in the article I wrote for the blog today, like, I'm not fucking around. Like, I want to be able to hike up mountains and shit when I'm 80 years old. And you talk about the heaven and hell situation, like, guys in my family don't live long. And it's like, if I don't do the shit that I need to do now, it's like, well, not only, am I not gonna be able to do the things that I love, but, like, I mean, I'm like, we've talked about before, I think even on here, it's like, I'm not gonna have kids until I'm in my 40s. And, like, if I don't take care of myself, I'm not going to see him grow up, yeah, you know? So it's like, you know, so you really have to strip away all of the bullshit, which is not easy to do, and all of the bullshit that you're telling yourself, and figure out, like, well, why do I want to do this? Why? I mean, sure, losing the body fat would help you, and it would be important. And like, but why are you judging yourself so hard for it? And, like, what do you want from that? And what is it going to actually change? And, you know, what are you sincerely willing to do about it? And are you able to delay the gratification that you need to delay to be able to do it? Because it's, yeah, like walking 10,000 steps a day, you're not going to see, I mean, some people, if you haven't done shit, like, sure, you're going to see an immediate impact, but, like, increasing your step count, you know, you might not see something for a month. You might not see 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. But, like, in a year, you'll look completely different just from walking. And I can tell you that it's the truth, because I've done it, you know?
Yeah.
And stopping to drink and stuff like that. Like, I used to be big, strong, and puffy. you know, and like, it wasn't fun. But now it's like, I actually look like somebody that knows how to use their body again, you know?
I think like reflecting on, I talked about like the entry with bodybuilding for me, and I can think of different phases of getting to body composition that I was really proud of. And it's like, well, the bodybuilding approach was a hyper obsessive, even though I loved the gym process, the tail end of that, where I know we said before in a previous show, like, oh, we'll have to dig those pictures up. But like, I worked so hard to get ready for a bodybuilding show that was canceled a few days out. And then I wanted nothing to do with the gym. I took months. I tried to go back to the gym. I went back to the gym like a few days after that, I think. And I like almost felt sick to my stomach. Like, oh, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
What am I doing this for now? You know,
exactly,
like,
right.
And it really messed me up. And that was right before I went to Penn State for kinesiology. And then I got there and it's like, I made a friend and this dude, Chad, who like, we would go to the gym, and then it was like, we pushed each other. So now it's like, okay, I have a lifting buddy and it's like, we're pushing each other's strength. Like then like talking about like what we're eating. And so like, then it was like, but still kind of the same focus, but it was fun because I was lifting with someone else. So the consistency was there and it was like, got back in pretty good shape, but not as good of shape when I did bodybuilding. And then, you know, we know I opened the gym and let a lot of stress compile, let a lot of my nutrition habits go. And then in 2016 did Precision Nutrition. And the interesting thing was there was a big focus on body composition, but there wasn't as much of a hyper focus, it sounds weird to say, on the nutrition, right? When I was doing bodybuilding, it was like counting macros. And I remember like firing up in that final prep phase, like firing up the grill multiple times a day, like tilapia in foil with veggies and like weighing stuff. I didn't count macros the whole way through, but I did towards the tail end. And it was like, I was type A, wouldn't even be the right word. I mean, I was obsessive compulsive. Like I think I said before in a previous episode of like, I ate some blueberries at a girlfriend's house and was like, I have to go home. I should have never had this many carbs. And like, I went home and was like riding the bike and jumping, jump rope, like insane looking back on it. Right. So a very unhealthy hyper-focus with PN was like, here's these super simple nutrition habits with like the hand portion basically. And then here's a year of like learning nutrition habits and skills. And probably more importantly, the psychology of all these different things. And then that was like piled on top of you moving here. And also you had an impact when you approached me in Victory in 2010, I think late 2009, early 2010.
Yeah. Something like that.
And you were like, what are you training for? I was like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't remember what my exact words were, but then you started to get me more interested in powerlifting. And like, I was like, I want to deadlift 500 pounds. Right. And that focus on chasing 500 pounds, like big change in the amount of muscle I was carrying and things like that. So point being is like all these different things had created changes in body composition, but with different levels of focus, right? I wanted to put on muscle all this time, right? Bodybuilding type stuff. But then when it was like, it like almost accidentally happened when I was like, I want to deadlift 500 pounds. And the amount of volume and intensity I had to lift with to get there, like, oh, look at that. I gained all this weight. Yeah. Not a ton, but like I put on a good bit of weight without hyper-focusing on it and had fun with the process, right? So PN was after that. It was like, all right, well, now I want to get lean. But that was slathered on top of like, it was a low-stress nutrition approach, but then you were moving here. And right around that time, we're like, let's do this tactical strength challenge. So we had massive consistency of training because we were running Strength Faction and like basically the model we run in the gym now.
Yeah.
And then on top of that was like a date, hey, whatever it was, April, I think of
end of April, 2016. Yeah.
We're going to do this tactical strength challenge. And we trained like freaking monsters to get ready for that. Right. Yeah. And if I look at different times, and then there was a pretty good lull of like, I maintained very good shape, but for what? And then I'm going to give a lot of credit to you here. Like, and then last year in the summer, first episode of this podcast, you were like, you know, you need something. And you challenged me to do the Georgia Death Race. And I've had zero focus on body composition, except that I thought adding all this running that I was going to wither away. So I paid a little bit more attention to total calories, but like next to no focus on like body composition for body composition's sake. But by finding like, oh shit, I really like pushing my body. And I think the key word would just be challenge. Like, it was the Georgia Death Race, but it's the kettlebell mile. It's anything we have coming up. I like to train to be able to push my body into different challenges, and fueling and recovery and everything helps all that stuff. And oh, by the way, it makes it pretty dang easy to maintain a body composition that you want. Like, and it's, there's just, to kind of sum that up, like, bodybuilding hyper-focused, pretty unhealthy. I'm 10 pounds heavier now than my after pictures in Precision Nutrition. And I'm probably within 2% body fat of what I was in that. So, and I don't focus on that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of years of training like that have compiled there. But I think that's the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, very quick aside, and this is just my personal view, but I don't think bodybuilding is a very healthy
pursuit. Oh, I don't think so at all.
I think it's a horribly unhealthy pursuit for a lot of reasons, but...
I don't know what my attraction was to it, except for I was...
You got welcomed into a community.
Bingo.
Like, right
I was
away.
The skinniest kid, and I always wanted to be bigger.
Yeah.
And I met dudes at the gym who, in any other context, I would be absolutely intimidated to talk to at that point in my life.
Yeah.
And they were the nicest dudes in the entire world. And when I mentioned I want to get bigger, they're like, well, just start lifting with us.
Yeah.
And that was like a massively transformational experience. And then, but all of the changes were based on interest.
Dude, I'll tell you what though, too, just along those lines, I think that's also one of the biggest differences here than from the last iteration of the gym, where it's like the last iteration of the gym was welcoming and everything like that. Don't get me wrong. But here it's like you come in, and everybody's on the same path and everybody's coming in, and like the culture is, you know, we work hard and we have fun and you're welcome here, but you know, we do the shit, you know,
we
do the shit. And I think that that's been another big change for people too. It really has.
I think one of the best quotes, and I don't remember who said it, but someone, when we switched over to this system early on, said, you know what? One of the things I really like here is I can't hide here. Like in the old system, they were like, and you could pick it like the maybe personality issue or like, well, hey, like how'd that work for you? But they were just like in the old system, there'd be days where I'd be like, I don't feel like doing this. Like, and they would go like just kind of hide in a section of the gym, and they would kind of do stuff when the coaches were looking. But they're like here, like there's nowhere to hide. Like, and the way that we approach it now, like it was just making it easier to do the thing and enjoy it.
I think it's also important that, you know, everybody's on the same program. Like they might not be doing the exact same thing, but it gives you examples. It gives you aspirations. Like you can see people that are maybe a little farther down. You're like, man, I want to be able to do that too. And like, it creates this whole chain of support that goes in each direction. And I think that that's also a huge part of it, where it's like, there's a community that moves forward here. And I think that that's a really good, healthy thing for people. Whereas like, you know, I don't know, and that was one of the cool things that I liked about powerlifting. Like, I'm done powerlifting for the rest of my life. I guess I shouldn't say that. Who knows?
Done with it?
Yeah, I'm not doing that again. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'll be old and it'll be like something, but like...
I'm going to go for the 90-year-old record.
But dude, like, I know. I mean, I remember when I stopped, somebody's like, well, when do you think you're going to deadlift 700 pounds? I'm like, oh, I'm not. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore because I know what it's going to take for me to do that. But one of the things that... I liked is like when you went to a meet, at least in the federations that I lifted in, I can't talk about every federation, but everybody was cool, man. Like there was no ego. Like everybody's helping each other out. Everybody's cheering each other on, where it's like, and that's one of the reasons that it's so fun to do, because it's a nerve wracking experience. Like you walk up on a platform in front of however many people are there, and like, it's just you and you have to lift, and you know, but everybody there just creates an environment where it's like, you know, we're lifting weights, man.
Yep.
You know, it's fun. That's.
I think that we talked about that in the post kind of breakdown of the Georgia Death Race, where I was like, dude, like the ultra running community is so freaking awesome. But I'm like, you know what? And I think I said it on that, but maybe I didn't. But you saying that, it's like when Jess did those couple powerlifting meets, I'd never gone to one. And that was the most eye-opening thing for me, was I was saying to you, like, I did not expect, like, this is a ridiculously friendly environment.
Do you know?
But from an outsider's perspective, without having gone, you would think like there'd be a lot of egos.
But do you know why? It's and that's the biggest difference between something like ultra running and powerlifting. I'll just put those in one category versus something like an aesthetically based thing as far as like bodybuilding. Because when you're on that stage, you're comparing yourself to everybody else. When you're powerlifting, you're running your own meet.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what anybody else is lifting. And if they're stronger than you, you can't do a fucking thing about it anyway.
Yeah.
But like there's all this subjectivity to how you're being judged on a stage when it comes to things like bodybuilding. And it creates a much more volatile environment. Whereas like we're fucking lifting weights, bro. Like, I want you to go out and do as best as you can. And it's like, no one, you don't know what anybody else is lifting unless you're really paying close attention. Like, you have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
I can't think back of like thinking back to when I haven't competed for 11 years, but like, I never knew what anybody else was lifting. I just knew what I wanted to lift. And I think it's the same thing with like ultra running and stuff like that. You just have the things that you want to do and you run your race.
I had my goal.
Yeah.
And then I had people around me that at different stages of the day, we were running together and we interacted. I did not care if I was ahead of them or behind them. There'd be times where you'd be like, they're like, I'm going to push a little harder. You want to go? Like, nope, have fun. I'll see you at the finish line. Like, yeah. I don't care. Like, and it's just,
and there's a bell curve of personalities, right?
Oh like, yeah.
There's a, you're always going to have some folks that kind of are dicks, but
you like know. A shorter event, maybe a little more,
yeah,
a little more, but I just, yeah. And you know, one other thing, I want to circle back to on what you were saying of like it being the same program. That's actually one of the things that I like most. And I think of when we first set up Strength Faction and you had Dan and Adam have two completely different amazing outcomes.
Absolutely.
Where Adam lost whatever it was, 30 some pounds.
Like 30 pounds.
Dan put on like 7 pounds or something. Both of them, it's not like Dan got a fat 7 pounds. He's ripped.
No, he looked like a monster.
Adam leaned out like crazy. And people were like, well, hang on, like same program. This dude gained 7 pounds. This dude lost 30 some, like what gives? And now with the gym, and I really, like I said, just noticed it with these Flex Friday pictures that we're doing. But what I love about it, and Roni and I were talking about it, is someone can look at some of these folks who you're like, whoa, like what happened? And then you go, well, wait, they're doing the same exact workout that I am.
Yeah.
There's no secret to the workout. Like there's no like, you know, it's the same workout. So man, maybe it's these other, bringing it right back to the Alex Hormozi quote, maybe it's this other beginner stuff.
Yeah.
And air quotes on the beginner. And,
like, yeah, because I still do it. That's it. Like, dude,
because the beginner stuff is the forever stuff.
Dude, do you want to know like the simplest habits that help me is like, I'm always a little hungry.
Yep.
Always a little hungry. I walk my dog after I eat breakfast and I walk my dog after I eat dinner. And like, and I obviously I make decent nutrition choices. Like I don't eat high calorically dense foods with low nutritional value. Yes. I don't do that typically. Sometimes, but like I'm not restrictive to myself. But like I don't know, I enjoy eating good food, you know. And I think one of the things that fucks people up with that, man, is they don't know how to cook. If you learn how to cook just a little bit, you can make healthful food that doesn't taste like shit. You know, so learning some skills helps a ton, but that's it, dude. Like, and that gets me to my step count a day. It makes that, you know, I'm eating decent food. It makes sure that I'm not eating too much per meal because I know I want to go walk my dog and I don't want to feel like ass when I do it, you know? So just like, you just think about like, you wouldn't think that would be, obviously, think about, this is crazy. I've been lifting weights and actively training for 25 years. And like, you would think that other would just be this crazy stuff that I know that I do that would be, so it's like, that's it, dude. Like I walk my dog and I stay a little hungry. Yeah. I make sure I go to bed a little bit hungry and I wake up a little bit hungry.
I think the other thing too is, and we talk about doing this, a future podcast on this. It's like what gets measured gets managed. And it comes back to like the metrics, the measuring that you did the blog on today. But those steps, like you had to have an aim and you have to measure that aim, right? And like, and then that focus. I mean, if, and again, it has to come back, like it doesn't have to, but it really, really helps if it comes from a place of a positive want.
Absolutely. Well, that's like looking at the
tied to a bigger purpose.
We're looking at where you crapped out on bodybuilding training. It's like there was an end game.
Yeah.
You know, and I think figuring out what game you want to play that's like an infinite game that keeps you like perpetuating positive habits and trying to add to them, and then getting to a place where you feel competent enough that you can add to that and push yourself. Like that's what to figure out, you know,
and be open to what, like, that will change.
Yeah.
That will change. Like, I would have never imagined that we'd be sitting down in June of 2023 and the majority of my upcoming goals would be not pure endurance based, but a highly skewed endurance based.
I got another one.
What's that?
Hold on. Adam Willis texted me on WhatsApp today. He wants to do one, an ultra, it's called the Wall Ultra. It's on June 15th, 2024. And it's a 70-mile run along Hadrian's Wall, which is the wall that divides England and Scotland. And I was like, Chris will do it with you.
So, I mean,
oh, you can read the message.
That sounds awesome.
Make Chris do it with you.
Currently teasing me for next year, 7 mile ultra. I mean,
yeah, we're Braveheart. Think about Braveheart.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You should do it.
Man, that's a flight.
He said, dude, if you average 3 miles an hour, you can complete it. Even you could do this.
Does he know that you're secretly running and I just let your secret out?
He follows me on Instagram, so he knows that I run.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anything else on that?
I don't think so.
Do things you enjoy. Think about why you really want to make whatever changes you think you want to make. Attach it to a higher purpose. And have fun.
Yeah.
You'll like where you wind up.